Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen, from Babylon, New York. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. We are on standby waiting for Brother Daniel to call in from Australia. And while we're waiting, I'd like to read some passages of scripture out of Acts chapter 17. And it says there, "Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Other some, 'He seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Well, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately in the United States of America, we don't have that testimony that we're not aware or we don't know. We do know. We know in this country the name of Jesus. He is not a strange God. This is not a setting forth of strange doctrine. There is a gospel that set this fire ablaze over 200 years ago, and that gospel has been overwhelmed by this generation's resistance against God and blasphemy, and you see the fruits of that everywhere. But before I go any further, I want to bring onto this broadcast today Brother Daniel. He's joining us from Australia, where lots of kind of strange things are going on. Brother Daniel, how are you today?
Stranger Things. Hey, that sounds like a really good TV series. But yeah, there's lots of strange things going on, interesting things. I mean, there's not a week that goes by when something is not happening. such as the times that we're living in at the moment. But yeah, interesting times.
You know, Daniel, I just heard something about a bunch of birds that were carrying some kind of disease and were bleeding from their eyes over in Australia. That's coming from one of the other. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I heard that actually happened down in Adelaide somewhere. Adelaide is in South Australia. But yeah, I heard something like that. No idea what's going on there. But yeah, something relegated to the Stranger Things folder.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that last week we talked, there had been a pretty major significant earthquake. And Daniel, I don't ever recall anything coming out of Australia until you joined us on the air a couple of years ago and began to witness that your government, too, was making decisions that had never been formed before by legislating and opening the door to the LGBTQ community and these types of things. Is there a connection in your thinking?
Not initially at the moment. I mean, there's animals that die en masse for various different reasons, but we've just had a change of government as of, 3 months ago now, or 2 months ago now. So, and we now have a Christian conservative as our prime minister. So we're pretty happy about that. I mean, our nation once a year has the disgraceful Pride Parade that we have in Sydney every March, but apart from that, it's things are pretty much as they were. Although that said, there's lots of stuff going on in regard to the culture wars here, as Sydney and especially Melbourne are very, very hostile towards God. So, but yeah, that's where we're at the moment, anyway.
Okay. I remember we were talking last year, you had a huge drought there, and it was at the same time the government was making some awkward decisions once again. But let's move on a little bit. What is in your heart this afternoon or where you are late in the morning? What do you see taking place? I know right now the big Mueller investigation before the Congress is taking place, and we'll see where that goes, but there's a lot of hem-haw around. Nobody ever wants to answer the questions, and you know, we're contacting you today from Babylon, New York. We are in Manhattan, my grandson and I, and we've been around and about, and I'm telling you, there are people from all over the world that are here, and there are languages. I mean, you walk down the street, you could hear every single language, and you wonder, my God, who speaks English anymore? But foreigners from around the world are here. Really, it's a mixing pot. We're not in Kansas anymore. And, you know, the simple life just is not here. It's an altogether different thing. I'm going to post some videos on our Facebook page later, but, you've been to New York, yes?
Yes, I have. I was in New York. It was only for an evening though. It was only for an evening where I just went, I had a walk around, lower Manhattan and got to see the, World Trade Center Memorial. But yeah, I didn't get to see a lot. However, I will be in New York for a few days next time I come back. So I'm speaking at a church in Long Island, actually. So it should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, very good. I tell you, it's an eye-opening experience for people that have never been to New York. I grew up right across the river, the Hudson River at Jersey City, where we from Jersey City, you know, could go to any park and see the nightscape and the night lights. And it's been a long time. We'll be actually visiting there tomorrow, going to Jersey City. But there's an angst here. There's a tension. There's a lot of noise and there's a lot of activity. There's no doubt about that. But there's an angst in the spirit. You could cut it with a knife. And but before I get into that, what is on your heart today? What are you feeling? What are the culture wars you want to talk about? What are the important things to you?
Well, there's a few things that's on my heart at the moment. There's a few little rumblings and things in regard to Israel at the moment. So Iran is, again, becoming increasingly aggressive. in the Strait of Hormuz or in the Persian Gulf. So there's Iran seems to be ratcheting up tensions. And as a result of that, as the sanctions are starting to bite in regard to Iran, Iran's proxy Hezbollah has reportedly been deploying massive amounts of troops on Israel's northern border, which is pretty interesting. So, yeah, so there's a bit of a build-up of arms that Hezbollah is doing on Israel's northern border. The other news is that overnight, Israel actually attacked Iranian assets in Syria. So the IAF has been busy in that regard. And other things to mention too is just there's been another report that's been released. I think it was actually, I'm just trying to remember who actually, yes, it was actually the European Union who actually launched a report in regard to the state of anti-Semitism at the moment in Europe. And they have found that 44% of young European Jews have been the victim of an anti-Semitic incident in the past year, and almost half of them choose not to wear items of clothing identified with Judaism out of fear for their safety, the new European Union report has found. So, again, more alarming statistics to say that Europe is becoming less and less a ideal haven for the Jews, as it is becoming more and more increasingly anti-Semitic. And so the fact that even almost half of European Jews have been the victim of an anti-Semitic incident just goes to show just how bad things are going over there at the moment.
Yeah, and so it's part of the ramp up of things going on around the world. My grandson and I went to David Wilkerson's church last night, Daniel. And we went to Times Square Church, and I showed him at the balcony area of the church that was given to Pastor David, and met a number of the saints that were there. And, you know, they're just all about prayer. They're just getting together. They're hearing the word and people praying all over the sanctuary. And it's refreshing to know that there are Christians living in this part of the country with all of the tension that is going on roundabout. And I remember many, many years ago meeting Pastor David Wilkerson backstage, and that's what he was all about as well. He said, you know, you've got to pray. Everything is about prayer. But he left this city with a very ominous message, Daniel. Pastor David Wilkerson left this world and this city with a vision of its total annihilation. And brother, I have to tell you, I have to be honest with you, I grew up in Jersey City. I don't mind coming to New York. I know the area like the back of my hand. And I'm here, but I, again, can feel a tension that is in this place. And you could see, like eyes wide open, the spirit of idolatry and the Babylonian spirit that is here, the workers, the builders of Babylon all over this place, and how they're building like crazy right now. It's just a very interesting place to be. But David Wilkerson left a message to this place, and I just wonder how the saints feel knowing that one day this place is going to implode.
Yeah. Well, it's becoming more and more brazen in its embrace of sin and wickedness every year. I mean, you might remember when they lit up the World Trade Tower in bright pink to celebrate passing legislation that slaughters unborn children up to birth. I mean, whoa, oy vey.
Right.
And then,
yeah,
you know, it goes on and on and on. And now they're saying that New York City is now a sanctuary for women who want to go and have an abortion because of all the different pro-life measures that have been passed in various different states and like heartbeat laws and preventing women from having an abortion once they can detect a heartbeat. So the New York lawmakers have now made it possible. So it's a sanctuary for women who are seeking out to kill their children in New York City. So it doesn't take me by surprise, because we can expect more and more and more of that in the last days.
You know, I'm hearing a phrase that I brought up several years ago. I did a little research on the study of the sword of Damocles, that John F. Kennedy actually in 1962 talked about the sword of Damocles that was hanging over the nations. And I'm now hearing on mainstream news media this phrase about the sword of Damocles. And because of decisions like you just mentioned with the legislators and lawmakers of New York, and we all know what happened on January 20th and 21st with the blood wolf red moon, that very day the legislators opened the door to the full-term abortion. And it just appears that sword of Damocles that is hanging over, which is a judgment that's hanging over a city, an individual, a nation, has just kind of gotten thinner. It's held together by horse's hair. And I think that fray in the horse's hair is happening. And I get the sense in my spirit, even while I'm here walking around, you know, I motivated myself last night to get through some things, to get back to where I wanted to be, because you get the feeling that the sword could fall at any moment. Here and in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And when it happens, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's not – New York absolutely will bear the brunt of the judgment of God. And I believe the city, entire city, I believe, will face God's judgment. But it's not just New York City. I believe it's also Washington, D.C., and part, you know, when September 11 happened, that was a foreshadowing. It was a foretaste. It was a glimpse of what is to come. And I believe that when judgment is finally poured out, I believe, you know, that 9/11 was a foretaste. So what happened on 9/11? Well, it was just two towers that came down, but it wasn't just that. It was also the Pentagon was also struck. So I believe that is a pattern of what we are to expect in the future. So I believe it won't be just two towers coming down. It'll be the entire city. And it won't be just the Pentagon that will be struck. I believe that that Washington, D.C. will be struck as well. And again, we have the same a plane that went down in Pennsylvania. I believe it won't be just Washington and New York. I believe it'll also be L.A. I believe it'll be lots of other cities, including international cities, including London. I believe London will also bear the brunt of God's judgment. Now, this is interesting, because when you read in Jeremiah 51, the prophet Jeremiah talks about how God will bring judgment to the daughter of Babylon, and that how he will judge her in the same way of that he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says this, and the surrounding towns. He will judge her in the same way that he judged Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns. That's really important. Well, you may say, well, you know, Jeremiah, that was just talking about how God judged Babylon, you know, back then. And I would say to that, no, because Babylon never was judged like Sodom and Gomorrah. Because when the Persians came and they diverted the Tigris River and they went in underneath the river and captured the city, it was virtually a bloodless coup. In fact, there were Babylonian citizens who walked 3 days not even knowing that their own city had been captured by the Persians. So it's not talking about Babylon. It's talking about a daughter of Babylon. And whenever you see the terms daughter of Babylon or daughter of Zion, it's referring to the future generation, either the future generation of Israel when it says daughter of Zion the future generation of Jews. But when it says daughter of Babylon, that's referring to the future mystery Babylon that will face God's judgment. And it's going to be judged just like Sodom and Gomorrah and its surrounding towns. It's not just one city in particular, although it will be one city in particular in regards to, I believe, it will be possibly New York. But it, as it was with, you know, when people think when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, when we read it in Genesis, most of us in our minds think it's one city. Now, we think of Sodom, how God judged Sodom. Yes, God did judge Sodom, but it wasn't just Sodom. It was the surrounding towns as well. And that's exactly what God is going to do in the future.
Yeah, David Wilkerson left a message that 1,000 fires would be burning in New York City, that it would be totally destroyed. There's a prophecy for Washington, D.C., that not one stone will be left upon another. And I remember Jonah walked through the, you know, the city of Nineveh. And I know that as he was walking by, he was declaring a judgment. And I think we've had the Jonah prophecy to our generation. It was one of the signs that God would put a message into the prophets, the Jonah prophets, that would proclaim a thing. And then, you know, he waited and nothing happened. 100 years later, it was fulfilled. And I believe the time of the Jonah prophecy is over. And we're in this season where God has his people, men and women, walking through the cities of the nations of the earth, and they are to proclaim a message, and they are to awaken. And I believe that the message to be proclaimed now, and we may have a, you know, disconnect on this one, but I don't believe the message now is so much repent and turn, for you're going to be judged. I believe the message now is come out of her, my people. And that seems to be the loudest voice that I hear. And I know men like yourself are coming to this nation. You're going to be coming to New York. You're going to be imparting a word. You've been fasting. And I know God's going to give you his words to speak. And this is the thing we've been looking at for weeks now. It's just kind of a dawning, a revelation, a coming forth. The whole Revelation 18, come out of her, my people, before, you know, you get caught in the snare. And there is a snare coming in Babylon globally, but you could really sense it here, Daniel, big time.
Yeah, I agree. I also sensed it there when I was there last October as well. So that was, it is pretty strong. And what I thought was interesting, how the fact that the World Trade Center has been renamed the One World Trade Center, or the One, the One World, the One World Trade Center.
The Freedom
Center.
Tower,
Yeah, the Freedom Tower, So, again, they're doubling down. They haven't really learned anything from the first time it happened, you know, back in 2001. So I just think, you know, there is a huge disaster that's waiting to happen, and that the people haven't learned, they haven't repented. And I do, too, sense that, Pastor Vincent, that the message is to come out of her, my people, to come out of her. And, you know, again, there's a lot of people, especially from my neck of the woods, who believe that the woman does not represent the West, does not represent America. They believe it represents Saudi Arabia, which I think, to be quite honest with you, is ridiculous. I mean, the fact that it says to come out of her, my people, come out of her, my people. What are you talking about? I mean, there's not even God's people in Saudi Arabia. I mean, there's a few dribs and drabs. You might find a few expats working there in Saudi Arabia, but that's it. Apart from that, there's no one living there. And the other thing too, Pastor Vincent, is that in Jeremiah 51, it talks about the, in fact, I'll see if I can find it. Which is interesting. But it also talks about how there are Jews who have come out from Babylon. For example, here is Isaiah 48, verse 2. It says, leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians, announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it, send it out to the ends of the earth, and say this, that the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. And Jeremiah 50, verse 28, listen to the fugitives and the refugees from Babylon, declaring in Zion how the Lord our God has taken vengeance. 51 verse 35, may the violence done to our flesh be upon Babylon. Say the inhabitants of Zion, may our blood be on those who live in Babylonia, says Jerusalem. And in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 7, come, O Zion, escape you who live in the daughter of Babylon. Now, are there any Jews who live in Saudi Arabia at the moment? No. There's none. So it's not talking about Saudi Arabia. You know, are there Jews who are living in New York? You betcha. In fact, half, just about half of the Jewish population, in fact, that about 9 million, I think, I believe it is, are living in New York City. So, again, very interesting, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And I was started the broadcast today with Paul in Athens when he saw that the whole city had been given over to idolatry. And I wonder, back in those days, 2,000 years ago, Christ had never been mentioned. There'd been no resurrection, no savior of the world in that sense, through the shedding of his blood on a cross. And he's preaching Jesus Christ. And the people of Athens are caught up in every kind of worship you can imagine. Well, that same spirit is here in New York, that spirit of idolatry. Yes. The people are just mesmerized by the technology in Times Square, you know, where David Wilkerson's church is, and the millions and millions and millions of people that are gathered together. And it's just one massive, you know, flow. And because of summertime, people from all over the world are here. And you get the very strange feeling that the enemy is really salivating, if he wanted to do so much damage, that this would be a very holy moment for Antichrist, a very, holy sacrifice to begin to do the work that we believe is coming down the pike. And, you know, I always pray about before going anywhere, and I prayed about coming here and bringing my grandson. I brought my other two grandsons here. And the first day we were supposed to come, God canceled the flight. He brought a storm, subdued this entire place. So we get here now and all the hot weather is gone and the humidity is gone and people are a bit more subdued right now, even though there's a lot of people here. And, we'll be leaving Friday, just a couple of days. But walking through this place, you see the poverty, you see the homelessness, you see everything you can imagine. You talk about Saudi Arabians, Muslims, everything you could imagine, Hindus, Indians, all over this place. A mixture. And isn't that what Babylon really is, Dan?
Exactly. 100% on the money. That's exactly what Babylon represents. This is the Tower of Babel. I mean, this is where, you know, God commanded man to scatter across the earth and to populate it, to fill the earth. But man rejected that. Instead, they wanted to hang around a tower. And it was called a ziggurat, which is basically a pyramid kind of a shape with steps that goes up to the heavens. And basically that was their agenda to set themselves up as God, which really is hearkening back to Genesis 3. They rejected the call of God to fill the earth, to go out and to scatter themselves across to the earth and to fill it and to populate it. They rejected that. They said, no, we don't want to be scattered across the earth. We want to stay here and we're going to become one people and nothing will be impossible for us. That is the spirit of globalism. And that spirit of globalism is all over New York City and all over the major cities of the world where there is no distinction between cultures. It's all one culture comes together and it's kind of like you can see it. It's just so fascinating.
Well, it is fascinating. And I'll tell you what was real fascinating, Daniel, when we came in, and this is just an eye-opener, the citizens of Babylon, you know, all the people here, the millions of people here, the citizens of Babylon, you could actually see with spiritual eyes that they are working and they're building. And what they're doing is they're building Babylon's infrastructure. You see the building and the works that are going on, and a lot of people say, well, we work because labor is a good thing. We put food on our table. We pay for our bills. But you can see that the building of the citizens of Babylon are going back to the Tower of Babel, where this Babylonian structure, which I believe all the components are already built, They just need to be put together and then plugged in. And I believe we're getting close to that time of everything being put together, kind of like the temple. They say you could put it together in a week and it would be ready to go.
Yeah.
All the components are there. And the components of Babylon are here and the citizens are building. So the question that we always ask is, what are we laboring for? What are we building for? If it's only for ourselves, that ties in directly to the Babylonian mindset. Even though you think you're
yes.
laboring for yourself, what you're really doing is building the pyramids and the Tower of Babel once again. But as Christians, we need to be building the kingdom. Speak into that.
Well, I remember being in Garden Valley, East Texas, at the Garden Valley Cemetery, and looking at the tomb, at the gravestone of Leonard Ravenhill, and written on his tombstone was the words, "Are the things that you are living for worth Christ dying for? Are the things that you are living for worth Christ dying for?" I mean, that question just really just captured me.
Yeah,
and it really did just capture my heart. I thought, boy, are the things that am I living for? Is it worth Christ dying for? I mean, that's a statement right there. And this is the question that we need to, every single one of us needs to ask ourselves. You know, are the things that you are living for worth Christ dying for? You know, I also think of the quote by C.T. Studd, who says, "One life shall soon be passed, only what is done for Christ shall last." It says, soon mm-hmm. one life will be passed, and only what's done for Christ shall last. So really, we are at the pointy end of human history, and I'm of the opinion where I actually believe that my own eyes could possibly see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of glory. And when I think about that, I ask myself the question, are you worthy to stand before the Son of Man? Am I worthy enough? Am I worthy to stand before the Son of Man? Am I washing my bride clothes? You know, am I washing myself that I might be pure before the Lord? You know, and It's a challenge, especially for those who are living in this Babylonian system, but where the world is extremely hostile and is saturated with sexual sin. It's a massive challenge to live pure before the Lord in these last days. But this is the challenge that Christ gives us. To he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know, and so This is the challenge for every single Christian in these last days.
Well, amen. And I like that word challenge. There may be people listening right now that, you know, they've been hearing the end time message for such a long time, but they live in, like we do, Northwest Arkansas or some very pleasant, quiet, slowed down atmosphere and environment. And if they're struggling with the message, they look out, they go outside, you know, their neighborhood, and everything is peaceful and normal after hearing a sermon like these. What I would challenge them to do is to come to New York. And I think they'll race back to their homes and they will thank God that they're in a place out of the way. But you cannot deny the message because you happen to live in an environment that is a little bit more peaceful. What I do when we're walking around here, Daniel, number one is I'm praying in the Spirit all day long. That's all I do. I walk around, we're moving, and we pray in the Spirit. There's poor people everywhere. You could reach out to the poor. You could share Jesus Christ with people as you go. But I believe that what I want to do is get a voice. I want our radio broadcast, particularly this Watchman radio broadcast, to come into New York with the message, "Come out of for my people." And I really believe that's it. And a part of me wants to shout out on the corners where everybody else is doing their break dancing and they're playing guitars with their underwear on or hanging upside down in the subways playing a flute or dressed up with all these crazy little costumes. And I mean, it's Babylon. It is Babylon. You do not have to wait for it. It's here. And everything in you wants to shout out and cry out. But the Bible says in Amos that the wise will be, and the prudent will be silent at that time, for it's an evil day. And so I'm just walking around praying in the spirit. Get myself a good slice of pizza where I can, or a good bagel, because I know it's better bread out here, and allowing my grandson to see and partake of good things, you know, going into Central Park, riding a bike, you know, walking through, going to the Times Square Church, you know, finding pleasant things, looking at the history of different monuments that are here. But it is a very, very evil time. I have to say that. It really is.
Yeah. And the talk is clicking. The grains of sand are running out of the hourglass. So the people need to wake up before it's too late. And the people have been speaking. The prophets have declared. The scriptures are clear. And so we don't. When everything comes to a head. People don't have an excuse. There is no, people won't have an excuse when everything comes to a head. So we just need to pray that the saints will listen, and that when God says, come out of her, my people, that the body of Christ, that the ecclesia will hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and will obey and will do what they can is necessary.
Well, amen. And Daniel, in our conversation right now, you know, I walk away with, you know, my experience here. I walk away watching what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. My level of confidence that these two places are going to get hit by a major strike are off the charts now. I'm at 100%. I would challenge anybody to come into environments like these, walk around, witness for yourself. And I'm going to put some videos up on our Facebook, on the Omega Radio Facebook page, and I'll send some out to our friends and family. I'm going to put the videos of what you will see. And I would challenge anybody that has the Holy Spirit to walk through a place like this and not feel anything. And I guarantee you, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will grieve at a moment, you'll wonder at a moment. John the Apostle, Daniel, remember what he did when he saw mystery? He wondered at her with great admiration, because what Babylon is becoming when she's fully plugged in, you know, is something to stand in awe of. And John did, and the angel says, why are you doing that? Is he not greater than ourselves, right?
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Yep. And Lord, open their eyes. And again, we just need to remember that that God has given us everything that we need in regard to the days that we're living in at the moment. And in particular, I think it's interesting that the book of Daniel is a manual for the last days living. Is half of the book of Daniel is all about how to live in a hostile Babylon. I mean, Daniel literally was living in Babylon, but it's all about living in a society that is hostile towards God. Now, we read about Daniel, how he refused to eat the fine meat and drink the king's wine. Instead, he opted to eat just vegetables, and as a result, he was as healthy as all the others, and God blessed him. And then we have the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who refused to bow the knee, and they paid for it with their lives. And as we know the story, they walked around in the fire, and there was the fourth one that was of the Son of Man, the Son of the Gods. And then we had the story of Daniel himself, who was thrown into the lion's den because he was absolutely committed to prayer. He would not compromise on his prayer life. And so these are examples that we can follow today, living in a hostile Babylon that we are living in. But then the other half of the book of Daniel is what are the signs about what to look for in regard to these last days. So yes, we need to be uncompromised in how we live in a hostile world toward God, but we also need to be looking out to the signs, looking for when when all this is going to be taking place. And the Bible encourages us to get into the scriptures to find out when all these things will take place. He does not want us to be ignorant. That's really, really important to understand. In fact, one of the things, one of the interesting things, I think it's in Zechariah. Let's see if I can find that. But it's actually God declares it to be judgment. In fact, here it is right here in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. It says, Jesus says, I know your deeds, for you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and hold it fast and repent. Now listen to what he says here. He says this, but if you do not wake up, he says, I will come to you like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Boy, what a judgment that is. What an indictment. If you do not wake up, Jesus says, he will visit you like a thief, and you will not know what time he will come to you.
And Daniel, what does the thief steal in that passage? What is being stolen? Their name.
Well, I believe.
Their names are actually being blotted out of the book of life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the context of that warning, is that he who overcomes, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So the blotting out of the name is the stealing of one's name out of the book of life. We've got a call coming in, and I want to welcome everybody to the Blog Talk radio station. The number is 818-369-0326. If you have a question or comment, just press 1 on your dial pad, and we're going to invite our friends all the way from South Dakota calling into the broadcast today. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes.
Good morning.
I have a question for Daniel, but I wanted to relate something to you guys to see if this resonates with your spirits. In the book of Daniel, in the 4th chapter, it talks about King Nebuchadnezzar, and then it's the Babylonian empire that was ruling then. And I believe that God put President Trump in our country because we needed this. It's a word called reprieve. We've heard this from many other people, because it was to prepare God's people. But history does repeat itself, and listen to what God speaks in the Word in chapter 4 of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Pride can come in, and I'm afraid that Donald Trump has allowed that to come in, because he's built this great economy, he said. And Nebuchadnezzar said the same thing in chapter 4 of 29. And here's what it says. And at the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while those words were still in his mouth, a voice came from heaven, it says, and he was struck and confounded and became like an animal for 7 years. So we need to be very careful. Now, our king, which is, well, our president, is this possible that this could happen all over again, like it did in the book of Daniel?
Yeah. Thank you for that. It's lovely to hear from you again. It could very well happen again. We need to be careful that we need to look at Scripture with its patterns and its principles and its analogies, and not to draw conclusions from hidden allegories. That's a really important thing to understand when we approach Scripture. Some people try to find the hidden spiritual allegory within Scripture, and as in regard to pointing to a modern context, we need to be careful of that, because that method of interpretation actually really is a Greek method of interpretation, where it's always looking for a hidden spiritual meaning, in which the burden of interpretation is upon the reader, which is not to be the case. The burden of proof when it comes to the interpretation of Scripture is always meant to be upon Scripture itself. So, yes, we can actually see lots of analogies, and that really is the difference between an analogy and an allegory. An analogy is to say that he swam like a fish, or he flew like a bird. That's an analogy. But an allegory is to say that there's a hidden meaning there. For example, in the Narnia Chronicles, you know, the lion Aslan. The lion Aslan is actually an allegory of Jesus, that he actually is a hidden spiritual meaning or representative symbolism of Jesus. We could approach this. There is a temptation to say that there is an allegory pointing toward President Trump. I would disagree with that. I would say that it could definitely be used as an analogy. I mean, there's lots of principles that we can find in the Word of God that we can apply to modern times. You know, especially when you look at the way that God dealt with Israel. In much of the way that God deals with Israel, he can also deal with America as he can deal with Australia, because there are principles that are there. And it's not because America is like a hidden allegory there, so that when you see God dealing with Israel, you can apply that to America. Yeah, we need to be careful there. We need to look at it from the aspect of principles and analogies. So, for example, the famous verse that we quote in Chronicles, where it says, "If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven and I would heal their land." Now, we can quote that of America, but who was he actually speaking to? Well, he was speaking to the nation of Israel. But that said, see, some people may say, come down on you like a ton of bricks and say, "Oh, no, you can't say that. It's talking about Israel." No. There's also that principle there. There's a universal principle that if a nation, whether it be America or Australia or Jamaica for that matter, if that nation would humble themselves and seek the Lord and turn away from their wicked ways, absolutely the Lord will come and heal their land, because, again, it's based on that principle. So, yes, Trump very well could be filled with pride. So there's a lot of conjecture and speculation as to whether Trump is actually born again. I would be very careful in regard to that, because he has come out with some pro-LGBT statements and has said a few other different foolish things on Twitter. So we just need to be careful. What we do need to do is to continue to pray for the man. We need to pray for him as much as we possibly can, because God hears our prayers when we pray for our leaders. So we need to pray for him. But he could very well be filled with pride and say, "Look at what my hands have done," and if God sees that, it would not reflect back well on President Trump. That's one thing for sure.
All right. So, and also, Daniel, getting back to that conversation, the nation that we see modern, any modern nation today, or individual for that case, that repeats the same things that once drew the wrath of God, should we expect anything different?
Yeah.
We have another call coming in from area code 479. That was a great question, by the way, Kathy. 479-238, you are on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, gentlemen. Pastor Vincent, this question would be more for you. You're in Babylon right now. Been reading a lot of stuff, how the police officers are getting attacked by the citizens, but they're not able to respond, or they're not doing anything because the communist mayor that they have will not stand behind them. And you could even YouTube some videos of some citizens accosting the police officers on the train and verbally assaulting them. I wouldn't show it to your grandson because the language tends to be extremely graphic, but the officers just sit there and don't say a word, where under normal circumstances they jerk the slack out of their britches, cuff them and stuff them, and go on to the next issue they got at hand. So would you speak into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely, and you make a good point, and that's part of the tension that you feel here right now. You know, I've been awakened since, you know, September 3rd, 2001, and 9/11 forever changed my thinking. And I got to tell you, since I've been here, I mean, my confirmation number is 11911. I mean, it's 9/11 backwards, 9/11 forwards. Everywhere I go, I look at the clock, it's 9/11. So, you know, it's not just that, but it's the eerie tension that you feel and the explosive nature of things that we've talked about for years being a powder keg. The powder keg is ready to blow and the fuse is lit, and it's closer and closer every day, it seems. But yeah, that's the tension that is here. You're seeing the city streets lined up with police officers like in Israel with their weapons, you know, their rifles across their shoulders and stomachs. And, you know, you see all those things out here. And yeah, it is a very explosive moment in the history of the United States. And I think you had sent me an article earlier, too, about an Antifa bomb of some sort going off. So the tension's rising. 2020 is getting closer. What moment will it actually be when these things come to pass?
It's definitely...
All right. Say that again, Michael. All right. So, Daniel, are you still there, sir?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. So I lost Mike somehow, but again, that's just that tension that we feel all the time as you're moving through, you know, this particular place. And, you know, again, Daniel, I don't think the whole idea is to create more dramatic theme. I believe that the purpose of our conversation right now is that the things we have talked about, we're actually witnessing them with our eyes right now. I mean, I would tell anybody that knows the word of God, the way that we've been presenting the word, and just read your Bible, it's here, Daniel. It is here. And I just don't know how much more blasphemy, I mean, outright blasphemy and idolatry that is not a mistake like the Athenians 2,000 years ago, but to a city and a people and a nation who knows, and to be so outrightly rebellious, and the people, the citizens being captivated by this idolatry in their spirit, in their mind, in their bodies. Again, I think the time for a sounding of an alarm, a warning, come out of for my people is the right way to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think especially when you're looking over on the West Coast, when you see how the big one is, I mean, talk about sitting under the sword of Damocles. I mean, the West Coast is really teetering on the brink. I mean, I think there are not just you, but many others who God has said, you know, come out of her, get out of here, move somewhere else, get out of California, because I believe that, I mean, once California gets hit, boy, oh boy, when that big one goes, we could see casualties run not just the hundreds of thousands, but into the millions.
Well, absolutely. And again, this is the amazing thing about really understanding this by the Holy Spirit, is that the people that, like Lot, that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah to such a degree that his whole spirit was quenched, that it says that his righteous soul was vexed every day by the filthy conduct. And, you know, I can't imagine. I asked my grandson last night, I said, Caden, do you think you'd have to be a pretty strong Christian to live in New York City? And, you know, he and his 12-year-old sense, thinking about a good slice of pizza, said, I don't know. And I said, yeah, I think you'd have to be a really, really strong Christian, connected and spiritually attuned to God, to walk through this city and to do your job as salt and light, and to know that your pastor, particularly those that went to Times Square Church, has left the planet with a warning of 1,000 fires burning and a devastation
yeah.
to New York that would take it out. My God.
Yeah. Thank God for David Wilkinson. He's one of the very few remaining prophets within that nation, you know, within the United States. Very few remaining prophets who is not afraid to speak from the Spirit of God and say, this is how it is. I mean, God bless that man. I mean, what a ministry that man had. And we need more people who are brave enough to speak the truth in regard to the fact that God's patience has run out, and that to call a spade and to call sin, sin, and to stand up and say, repent and turn away, and to warn and to say, listen, the judgment is coming, and it will not relent.
Daniel, in about 3 minutes now, I'm going to be getting ready for an hour from now going on Kerm Radio. I'll be calling in as well. And I want to just take this brief moment. You're going to be coming to the United States. You're going to be speaking in a number of different cities while you're here. You're going to be joining us in Northwest Arkansas, your home away from home, mm-hmm. on August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And New Wine Ministries is already mm-hmm. preparing to host you for that. We're looking forward to your arrival. You've been fasting you went through a nice fast. God bless you. You do that a lot. God bless your spirit. And may God really formulate in you his heart, his will for this moment
yes.
as you bring the message to the United States. But is there any kind of information you want anybody to know, how they could find out where you're going to be, or anything special you want us to know?
Well, not really. I'll kick off my tour in Tyler, Texas at the Understanding the Times conference. But then after that, I'm whisked away up to Toronto, Canada for a week, where I'll be at the LCJE International Conference on Jewish Evangelism. But immediately after that, I'll be slipping across the border and heading to New York City, where I'll be speaking at a combined churches event in Long Island. So I'll be, I think that is the 17th. I'm not 100% sure. I'm just going to have a look at my calendar. But that will be the Sunday the 18th, I believe that will be. Yes, Sunday the 18th. And then after that, from the 19th, I'm off somewhere. In fact, I believe that God is deliberately keeping that vacant. In fact, I went to book something for that. I went to try and organize something to do there, but the Holy Spirit has kind of prevented me. So he's got something in mind for me to do on the 19th up to the 21st, which then I'll be coming and joining you in Northwest Arkansas. And so I'll be with you guys for approximately a week, and then I'll be back down to Tyler, Texas with a few other engagements and speaking at a few churches down there, and then I'll be back home in September. So, yes, I'll be away for about a month. I'll be leaving when it's nice and cold here in Australia, and spending a summer in America, and then when I come back, it'll be in Australian spring. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fantastic, and I'm looking forward to see all of you guys over there.
And then we're back in October for the Feast of Tabernacles. Don't forget that. We'll talk more about that as we go. And that's you're supposed to be bringing your whole family. But again, we'll talk about that. Daniel, sounds like you need to get your rest during 2 o'clock in the morning for you. So I want to thank you once again for just coming on the air, sharing your thoughts, sharing your heart. And I know that God's formulating something deep in you to bring to the United States. And I know it's an encouragement to the saints. And so God bless you, my friend. Thank you. Remember, folks, August 23rd, 4th, and 5th, Daniel Second will be with us here in Northwest Arkansas. If you'd like to come join us, all you have to do is contact our ministry at nwmglobal.org, or just give me a call and We'll keep giving you the information. Northwest Arkansas, August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. We'd love to see you. Daniel, God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
All right. So have a great night. So we're going to leave it there for right now, folks. Get on the road, and in 1 hour we'll be on KURM Radio. If you're interested, you can listen in on any device at KURM.net. K-U-R-M as in Michael.net. I'm Pastor Vince. We'll see you real soon. God bless everybody. Shalom.